You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And welcome into the Bruins Beat, presented by Prize Picks. I am Evan Marinofsky, joined by the great Joe Haggerty. Hags, what is up?
What's up, Evan? How you doing?
I am good. It's a Friday morning. You and I have got a lot we got to do. Bruins, yep. On Thursday night, get a gutsy 2-1 overtime win in Montreal. Those Montreal wins, even when Montreal's as bad as it is right now, it's still... is always a good thing when the Bruins can go in there and just kind of even edge out a win.
I mean, it is good, obviously, and they needed a win. And the way they won, I think, was needed too. You know, like closing out a third period without blowing, you know, a 1-1 game in like a road setting, finding a way to win in overtime. Like some of the stuff that happened within the game, they were all good developments, even though it wasn't like a... As Jim Montgomery said afterwards, it wasn't a Picasso by any means. It wasn't like a beautiful game. It wasn't one of the most well-executed games of the year. But I think some of the things that happened within the game were necessary and good steps. The fact that the Bruins beat a team that's out of the playoffs and, you know, one of the teams that recently they've kind of been overlooking and not playing well against, I think that was also a big deal and a good development. But I would also say, like, games like last night also remind me just how much the Bruins-Habs rivalry is no longer existent. And is just like, there's no emotion in that game. There's nothing interesting going on. It's not one you're going to circle on the hockey calendar and be like, I got to watch the Bruins-Canadians at the Bell Center in Montreal. Like, and it's been like that for like 10 years now. So it just like kind of hammers home how irrelevant that rivalry has been for a while now and how it's going to need something to kind of stir it up.
It stinks because, you know, I think the last time they played each other in the playoffs was 2014 when the Habs won in seven games. And
that was the last time I think it was a rivalry. It was 2014 when they played each other in the playoffs and Michel Therrien was talking about respect and P.K. Subban took over that series. That's when P.K. was still playing and still with the Canadiens. The Bruins were President's Trophy winners that year and really kind of like left it all in the regular season and you know, they peaked in the regular season. By the time they got to the playoffs, they just weren't ready to compete in that series. So, like that, yeah, that was the last time I can remember it even being a quasi interesting rivalry. Is 2014? That's a long freaking time ago.
It is. I wasn't even born then. But I mean, you think about though, like that. I want to talk about this for a second.
Certificate, everybody.
Yeah, I gotta get ready. It's an interesting thing you mentioned because let's go back in time a bit. We'll get to the game in a second. You think back to then, right? Like, they, if memory serves, those Canadiens teams were always very interesting because they didn't have like a star forward. They didn't have like a big point getter, if memory serves, unless I'm forgetting somebody.
They haven't had a big time center in a long time. Like, I remember Brendan Gallagher and Subban being like big players on that team, Carey Price, like. You know, they were built around that kind of stuff. Like they were definitely I know in Montreal they had been pining for a long time for like the franchise center, the guy that could, you know, put up big points, play big minutes, kind of drive their top line, like be that guy. They were more about like fast, skilled wings that were decent and good defensemen and the goaltender, obviously, back then. But, like, that's even ancient history now. You know, now they've been the dregs for, like, years now, and it's you know, it's hard to have any kind of a rivalry when a team is that terrible.
And also, I think the NHL is better when the Canadians are better. I mean, the Bruins-Canadians rivalry is better. I mean, it's just you don't want them as one of the bottom teams in the Atlantic. And at least, I mean, at least they seem to be developing all right. I mean, you guys got guys like Suzuki, Caulfield, Slavkovsky's coming along. I don't know what they're going to do in that.
Pacioretty was probably their best forward back there in 2014.
That's right.
That's who I would. Right. But he was okay. But I wouldn't put him as, like, you know, a world-changing franchise forward.
They're not retiring his number.
No.
But, you know, I you're right, though. The Bruins-Canadiens rivalry is sort of dead. And at some point, maybe it gets brought back up as the Canadians get better. I assume, you know, if the Canadians start going to the top of the standings with the Bruins, it'll be, you know, put back together. But you also don't have those, you know, the physicality you did 10 years ago and 15 years ago. And I think that also hurts it as well. But then you do see it in games like Bruins Leafs a couple, you know, like a week or so ago, exactly a week ago, where there's that added hatred and they've played each other in the playoffs a lot and they're both top of the standings. They could play each other this year. Do you think that's the Bruins' best first round matchup, Bruins Leafs?
Probably, yeah. Just because they are who they are, you know, I don't think they've materially changed from who they've been the last 5, 6, 7 years, disappointing in the playoffs, not being willing really to do what needs to be done to win playoff series. Like, you know, their star players are great regular season players. They're built to be run and gun and, you know, fun hockey during the regular season, score a lot of goals, pile up a lot of points, make their fans happy, get the Toronto media all hyped up on the Maple Leafs and how great Austin Matthews is. And then when it comes down to, like, nut crunching time in the playoffs, when your guys actually have to show more than, you know, an ability to toe drag somebody or, like, snap a one timer home, they can't do it. You know, they don't have what it takes to get the team over the finish line in the playoffs. Like, it stood out to me. I think it was last year they had Ryan O'Reilly at the trade deadline and Noel Acciari.
Yep, that was last year.
Those were two of their most effective players in the playoffs. You know, like, those were the kind of guys that, like, were willing to do what needed to be done in order to have success in the playoffs. And the Toronto's best players, like, never get that memo. They're never on board to do that. And that goes beyond them not being built for the playoffs, being built around, like, a stout defensive team, you know, a great goaltender, like all the traditional stuff that you need to do to win in the playoffs. You know, they don't have that. And they don't also have, like, star players that are willing to pay the price and out-compete and out-will the other team's best players in order to win those series either. So, like, maybe they could win a playoff round or two if they get the right matchup, if one of them goes off offensively, like, whatever. But I don't think I've never seen a Leafs team in this current incantation of them, iteration of them, excuse me, that is built for the playoffs and is going to be able to win multiple rounds. So, like, that would be, I think, the best matchup. But, like, if they end up passing Florida and they play wild card teams, like, it could be Detroit, could be the Islanders. Do either one of those, like, really scare you? I'm not sure. The only one that I think really is a concern is the Lightning. If they ended up with the Lightning and the Lightning were a wild card team and they had to play them in the first round, I think that would actually be the worst matchup of any of the potential combinations that you look at, aside from, you know, having to play the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean,
which isn't going to happen.
The Islanders are a little scary in the playoffs because of the Islanders. You know, you look at, like, Sorokin in that and just kind of the way that team plays, and they're getting hot at the right time. I know the Bruins have had, you know, they had struggled with them in 2021. So that would be, aside from the Lightning, the wild card team, I would not want to play the Red Wings, the Sabres. Sure, fine. I mean, I wouldn't hate that.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Toronto, I agree with you. Every year it feels like Toronto goes out and adds a defenseman who is middle of the road, mid-tier type guy, and they try to elevate them to being a number one defenseman, and it just doesn't work because you need a real number one defenseman. They have so much money tied up front that they haven't really been able to invest in a legit number one defenseman or a legit number one goalie. It just hasn't really happened yet. I want to dive into this Canadiens game, though. But first, a quick word from our friends over at Prize Picks. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. It's skill-based, so if you watch a lot of hockey like I do, pick more or less the number of shots on goal a top player like Connor Bedard or Sidney Crosby might have in a game. So download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, back to the show. So, Hags, obviously it wasn't the prettiest win in Montreal on Thursday night. But I did have some positives from this game. I know that they're still the Canadiens. They're not great. But Jake DeBrusk scores an OT. Nice goal. Since the trade deadline, 2 goals, 1 assist, 12 shots on net. Been more noticeable. An interesting thing we talked about prior to the deadline was, you know, like Linus Ullmark, you and I talked about this on Sunday. A lot of stress about potentially getting traded, not getting traded. And, you know, that affects players differently. It was clearly affecting Jake DeBrusk. Now he's not being traded, obviously. Do you think we continue to see this, the solid play over the next couple weeks, or is he going to continue to be inconsistent? What do you see?
I mean, I'm sure we'll see a stretch where he scores some goals and where he plays well. And he definitely looks like and sounds like, when you talk to him, somebody that's had the weight lifted off his shoulders, having gone through the deadline and not getting traded. I think it was definitely a consideration, something he was thinking about, worried about, whatever. But like, he's just the nature of the player. Like, he'll be up and down. And it was so funny. I think it was a Craig Button on Sportsnet or TSN or whatever around trade deadline time. He was talking about how, you know, Jake DeBrusk was on their trade bait list and maybe the Bruins were shopping him, thinking about trading him. And he kind of went on a tangent of like, what are they thinking? And he was like, Jake DeBrusk, a heavy, hard player, power forward, performs in the playoffs. Like, what would they be thinking trading him? I don't know. I'm like, has friggin' Craig Button actually watched Jake DeBrusk play? He's a heavy, hard.
He's in his ear.
Like, what is going? Like, is this Louis' best friend? What the hell is going on here? I think the Canadian media, they love them some Jake DeBrusk because Louis DeBrusk is a broadcaster and he's buddies with all those guys and, you know, he's part of the club, so they're always going to speak well of him. But, like, he went so over the top with it, I was like, has he ever actually watched DeBrusk play in Boston? Like, DeBrusk is a fast skill guy. And sometimes, yes, he will take the puck hard to the net. Sometimes he will use his speed to get to the net. He's not a power forward. He's not a heavy or hard player in the least. Like, there were weeks and months where he would go without a registered hit, even a couple of years ago for the Bruins. And, like, he had some good playoffs to start his career with Boston, but I don't think he's been a great playoff player for them for quite some time either. Been a really productive, like, effective player. Like, honestly, ever since he took that hit from Nazem Kadri, that Kadri got suspended for, I don't feel like DeBrusk has been super effective in the playoffs, in the postseason, as far as production goes in offense. So, like, that's just the nature of who he is. He's kind of up and down. He's streaky. You know, he'll go through stretches where his confidence is high and he's scoring goals. Like, the good thing with him is that he's kind of figured out how to help in other ways, killing penalties. He doesn't do as many flybys anymore. Like, he plays a little harder consistently in all three zones to help you out and at least be an effective player and a helpful player. even when he's not putting the puck in the net. But like, that's when he's at his best, when he's scoring. So I think we'll see a spell where he plays well and has a confidence boost from what happened at the deadline. And I think the same thing with Linus Ullmark. I think he's started two straight games. He's played well in both of them. He clearly was worried about the trade deadline and played like a guy that was super happy to still be in Boston in that win over Pittsburgh. I thought it was interesting that they gave him another start here against Montreal. He didn't face a ton of shots, but I thought he played well again. And I think both of those guys feel like, to me, players that are going to, you know, play like they're grateful to still be with the Bruins and still be part of the mix instead of getting traded away.
See, I think DeBrusque is going to be streaky the rest of the way. I think this will be a nice stretch, and then, you know, there'll be some inconsistency. Yeah. I think Ullmark is way more a safe bet to be really strong down the stretch. I think, you know, now that Ullmark knows he's here, at least for the rest of the season, I think if I was, you know, saying, all right, who's going to be more, you know, not more effective, because obviously the goaltender means a little bit more, but, you know, whose play is going to be more consistent down the stretch, I'm going with Ullmark. I think Ullmark's going to be the guy out of those two by far.
He will, but like, is that going to change how he performs in the playoffs where he has not been good? No, I don't think so. I think I've seen enough of him to know what to come to expect from him in the postseason, and it's not great.
I agree. And I think ultimately Swayman deserves the game one start as of now. Yep. I know he hasn't been the best of late, but I still think you want to see what you get out of Swayman. So DeBrusque does that. You know, again, we'll see what happens there. Johnny Beecher, first game back in quite a while. JVR was out due to sickness. Beecher goes in, 8 of 11 on draws, pretty effective. Good night. I don't know if he's done enough to stay for good, but I think the Brew, at least, you know, you have that. Now, his biggest thing also is being consistent with how he performs. I still feel Boqvist has done enough when there's a full lineup to be the 4C, but I do think Beecher's speed and his ability to win draws is really intriguing for that fourth line.
No, I think the faceoff is a big deal. Like, I think that could ultimately win him that job and have him in there come playoff time, because I think having a left shot faceoff guy is that important. I think it really is. You know, they had him take the faceoff to start overtime. That's how much that's how important they felt like that faceoff was. Yes, as soon as the faceoff was over, he skated off and Marchand came on. But I think that gives you some insight into how they're going to start playing down the stretch and in the playoffs, where having a guy that can win a left faceoff on the left side of the ice is going to be important. And, you know, he's their best faceoff guy. Won 8 of 11 last night. He was well over 50% when he was here before. And I think you're going to need him. You know, they didn't trade for a faceoff specialist. They didn't find anybody that they could add to the roster that can win draws on the left side. So I think they're going to need Beecher, and I think that's why they're trying to coach him up and get him to his highest level of play. Like, the tough part is Boqvist, if he could win faceoffs, would be great.
Yes.
He plays with speed. He makes plays. He puts anxiety into the other team and puts them on their heels with his speed, and it's hard speed too. He doesn't shy away from playing the hard game. You're going to have to play on the fourth line. Anthony Richard played like that when he was up too, and I really liked that. It was a hard speed game that they were playing. So, like, he gives you so much that is good. And the fourth line, I think, has been pretty good with him and Brazeau and Lauko. But I think because Charlie Coyle, Pavel Zacha, Morgan Geeky, Trent Frederick, whoever you want to put in the other three center spots, they can't win enough faceoffs. And that is a huge part of the game. When you get down to it in the third period, in the closing minutes of games where you need somebody to win a big faceoff in the D zone, when the goalie is pulled or when they ice the puck, and, you know, if you're trying to kill a penalty, like, or overtime to start when you want possession of the puck, like, all these different areas where you need somebody that can actually win a draw and you can count on them to win a faceoff, I think you're probably going to need Johnny Beecher, because it becomes that important when the little details really matter in the playoffs. And I think last night was a window into that and what he could bring to the table. You're just trying to get him to embrace the rest of his game, back check, go hard to the front of the net, use his speed consistently when he's out there for a shift, be able to play 10 plus minutes so the fourth line can actually be an effective, viable trio for them. And he did all that stuff last night. So it was a good step for him. But they like really need him, I think, because of his face-off ability.
If you could put Boqvist and Beecher together, you'd have yourself a really strong fourth-line center.
Frankenstein, like four or five guys that are fourth-line candidates together into three super players, you'd be really cooking with gas.
Bruins are in the cup. I agree. Beecher's an interesting case.
Close size with Anthony Richard's speed, too. Can we Frankenstein that together, too?
Yeah, can we put Sean Thornton's toughness in them as well? You know, like, come on, Sean. You don't need it anymore. Beecher's an interesting case. I agree with you. The faceoffs are important. I just think they need to, you know, he needs to round out the rest of his game and bring it on a consistent basis. We've talked a lot about consistency in this episode. One thing that's always consistent, Hags, Factor Meals. Quick word from our friends over at Factor Meals.
Let me tell you about my good friends over at Factor Meals. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals. 2 minute meals, fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. And of course, no prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. They're flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. Factor's the perfect solution. If you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required, sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So, head to factormeals.com/Bruins50 and use code Bruins50 to get 50% off. Again, that's code Bruins50 at factormeals.com/Bruins50 to get 50% off. Now, back to the show.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We've talked a lot about the fourth line. Beecher, Boqvist. One guy I want to mention, Justin Brazeau, had a great game on Thursday night. I thought he was really effective. And he's been effective ever since coming up here. He had the goal called off against St. Louis the other night. He's big. You know, he nice hit on Matheson Thursday night as well. To me, he feels like a must for that fourth line. But now you also have Pat Maroon. I think, did I talk with you about this or Connor? I talked with someone about this. I don't know if you can have a fourth line with Maroon and Brazeau on it if you're trying to play with some speed. But I think Brazeau has done enough to seriously make him a legit contender for that fourth line come the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a playoff style player, you know, big, strong, wins tons of battles around the offensive net. looks like he can make plays around the net in addition to scoring goals. Certainly goes harder than that. He impressed me with the first goal that he scored in the NHL, where he went hard to the net and went so hard to the net that he caused Ryan Suter's stick to go flying out of his hands because he, like, hit the net so hard when they were both going for the puck. Like, that tells you, like, how big and strong he is. You know, Ryan Suter's, like, wasn't as prime a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman and obviously has been a great defenseman in the NHL for a long time. That's not usually a guy who you see his stick go flying out of his hands very much in the D zone at the net front. So that told you something right there just about how strong Brazeau is and the way that he plays. And I think he's got enough speed to at least keep up. I don't think his skating has been as much of a liability as some of the, like, you know, the Bruins prospect draftnik type people that pretend like they watch these guys all the time and see one scouting report and then, like, you know, regurgitate it everywhere and try to, you know, like, badmouth people before they've actually really watched them play for a long period of time. Like, he's not fast, but he certainly can at that size and strength level can survive in the NHL, provided he's bringing his other, you know, elements and playing up to his size and strength consistently. And I even like that he's thrown a few more hits lately, and I don't think that's his game by any means. He's not an enforcer. He's not a big hitter. But I think he's played to a physical level where it would be adequate for the kind of size he is and for a fourth-line player. So I definitely think he's in the mix, and I think he's a playoff-style player, so he should be in the mix. There's some intriguing guys on this roster when it comes playoff time because there's some bigger, stronger players. Morgan Geekie is a guy that I think he's going to be very good in the playoffs because he's big. He's 6'3", like 210. He's got like hard-nosed, like blue-collar skill. He wins battles around the net. Like those kind of guys, I think, really, they get elevated to a different role come postseason time. So I think that's going to be fun to watch. But to your point, when Pat Maroon comes back and he gets healthy, what are they going to do? Where is he going to play? Is that going to affect Brazeau? Could they possibly survive with a fourth line where Brazeau and Maroon are the two wingers? Would they be way too slow to be okay in a postseason series? Would it depend on the matchup? I think all that stuff is going to be interesting to watch, but you know, first they need to get to a point where Pat Maroon is healthy enough to skate and be ready to play, which he's not even skating right now. So I'm not even going to be concerned about that until he gets like on the ice and starts practicing.
I think when he does, and if he's ready to go for the playoffs, I think it all comes down, as you said, to matchups. And I think if you're getting tossed around in a playoff series, then you put those two together on the fourth line and let him cook, as us kids say. Andrew Peak, real quick before you go, Andrew Peak, what do you think of his first? What do you think of his first game? I thought a pretty solid game. Wasn't flashy, wasn't showy. But what did you think of it?
No, it was good. Couple block shots, 3 shot attempts, 17 minutes. Like, I think he's going to be a hard-nosed, stay-at-home, you know, killing penalties, blocking shots, playing rough, playing physical kind of guy. Like, he'll be fine for the playoffs. I like that ad. I mean, he doesn't necessarily – he's not a strict Derek Forbert replacement, just given, like, you know, the side that he plays on and all that stuff. But, like – they were trying him left and right side last night, which I thought was a little interesting. And I think, you know, what he brings to the table, his job description, he replaces Derek Forbert. And I think he plays a little more physical, maybe a little less skilled offensively and a little more physical than Derek Forbert, while doing a lot of the same things and having a lot of the same qualities. And his cap hit is a little bit less than Forbert's for the next couple of years. So I think in essence, when they traded for him, that was it for Forbert, like his career with the Bruins. Given that he's got an injury, and I think he comes in and he becomes, you know, that he fills that box, checks that box for the Bruins for the next couple of years. So as long as he's not making huge gaffes in the defensive zone, big turnovers, like all that stuff, taking bad penalties, any of that, I think he's doing his job, and he was perfectly fine last night.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's Montreal, but first impressions are good impressions. Hags, before you go, what can the people look forward to from you?
There's a Pucks with Hags episode coming out with Mick where we talk about a bunch of different things, including the game against Montreal. And also like a little bit of like, you know, what we touched on here with who are you concerned about in the playoffs, in the first round, that kind of stuff. You check out my column, which I'm finishing up now on BostonSportsJournal.com, and you can always get my stuff at joehaggerty.substack.com. Premium membership, and you get all my NHL and Bruins writing sent straight to your inbox.
Well, that is awesome. You can write in your BSJ column in the middle, like, had to go on Bruins beat with Evan. Give me 5 seconds, and then just and keep writing. Lost my train of thought. Evan ruined it for me. Anyways, Hags, as always, thank you so much for joining. Bruins beat presented by Prize Picks. You Bruins beat listeners, have a great rest of your week. Teenage